Welcome to Bam
Bamorama. Bam Bamorama. Bam Bamorama.
Welcome to another Bam Bamorama. My name is Adrian Estrada.
I'm Jackson Grist.
And today we have Joshua Hatebit.
Hatebit, that's right. Which one of y'all, the last show, called me Johnny?
That was me. Okay. And I'm sorry.
No.
We also do commentary for the Rampage shows, and I goofed up because I'm bad with names.
Yeah.
I called you Johnny a
handful
of times.
It's all good. So, funny story, whenever Joshua 8-Bit character came into play was, I wanted that to be my first name.
You wanted it to be Johnny?
I wanted it to be Johnny, like, really, really bad, but...
The energy was out there. Yeah. I felt it. That's what happened.
And at the time, like, and still to this day, the word Johnny just sounds like a badass name and stuff like that.
I get that.
And, of course, like, I was like, Johnny 8-Bit. Like, that's got a good name to it. One of the guys told me, no, go with Joshua, because everybody knows your name is Joshua at this point. And I originally didn't like it, but the more I kept hearing it, the more I kept telling myself that, it just stuck.
Right.
It really stuck. But
And that makes sense, because you have an interesting introduction into wrestling. You were already yourself.
Yes, sir.
And you were blogging about Rampage shows?
So I started off as a fan. I went to a WWE house show. I can't remember which one it was. It was right whenever Cena and Seth Rollins were having their feud. Literally after that, I walked out of the stadium and I was like, man, I wish Lubbock had like its own wrestling promotion and stuff like that. Well, then around the time of my birthday, which is March 25th, I saw a Rampage flyer. And like, I just fell in love. I fell in love and I was like, I want to work for this promotion someday. And then I started like making posters. I started like doing like vlogs about like predictions and then results. I even got in contact with like some of the wrestlers and started doing interviews with them and stuff. It's fun. I enjoyed it. And now I'm here. I'm like, you know, I got the Rampage Championship. I mean, I didn't win it. I stole it, but I'm going to win it today.
There you go.
So whenever you were transitioning into the wrestling world, you obviously had some affinity for it. What was some of the inspiration of that? Did you have like your dad raised you in it, an uncle or something?
So what's it called? My dad wasn't the one who got me into wrestling. It was my uncle who did. My dad just so happened to catch me watching it and was like, oh, I didn't know you like you watch wrestling. Well, let me tell you something about wrestling. My uncle showed me. I have like vivid memories of him always liking Sting. And at the time I didn't know who Sting was. I just saw like he had the mask and he always kept saying it's Sting, or he always had the bat, the trench coat, everything. I was like, oh, I don't know who Sting is, but that's pretty cool. And then the Monday Night Wars, I vaguely remember that.
Monday Night Wars was my thing. That's when I was really into wrestling. Sting was my favorite too. So
yeah. I remember my uncle would always do the DDP thing, and yep. I'd throw it up too, but I never knew what,
you
it,
didn't
was.
Know what it was.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. And then when my dad noticed me watching wrestling, we watched SmackDown during the Ruthless Aggression era, and I was really big into Rey Mysterio, the High Flyers, Rey Mysterio, Paul London, Brian Kendrick, to Jerry. To Jerry was my favorite. Even though like he was like a big heel and stuff like that, I always liked what he did with the Mist and everything like that. My best memory was watching with my dad. We watched Big Show versus Brock Lesnar whenever they did the superplex and they broke the ring. That's like my favorite moment with my dad.
It's awesome.
But no, I love it. I still love it. The Ruthless Aggression era will always be my favorite. Always.
I was big. I was younger, so I always did the... So you had the Monday Night Wars and then into the Attitude Era. I won't lie, I took a break from watching wrestling during the Ruthless Aggression Era. There's still a lot of stuff I got to go back and learn from that. Sting just had his final match.
Yeah.
You just brought him up. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did. I loved it. I liked the little callbacks that he did on his entrance where he had his two sons. I didn't know that.
I didn't realize that was his sons either.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were like his original costumes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of his originals. One of them was... way back in the day, and then the other one was from when he joined the Wolfpack.
Yeah, that's got to be a cool feeling for a dad to have your two sons wearing your stuff and getting in there with you for your final thing.
Absolutely.
And on that note, where do you hope to go with all this? Are you looking for an opportunity in the larger rings?
I'm not, and I know that's kind of disrespectful to some of the the vets or like some other people and stuff. I see this as an outlet, a hobby. And I know that's probably something that some people don't like to hear, but it's 2024. But either way, like it's given me happiness. Like before I was at like really low state, depressed and everything like that. And this is like one of the things that I've made that I found happiness in outside of comic books, collecting figurines, stuff like that.
That's very good. It's important to have something that you feel motivated by.
Right.
Just because you're not making a career out of it doesn't mean you're not focused on it.
Right. And I really do enjoy it. It's fun. I can work out while having fun doing this.
Exactly. And I think wanting to, you know, stick to the indie side, stick to the Lubbock wrestling, I don't find that offensive at all. I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, if you do something, you should want to do it to the best of your abilities.
Right.
If you start wrestling, you should dream of being a New Japan or a WWE world champion.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there. I'm on TikTok all over the place. I see a lot of indie wrestlers talking about my zone is indie wrestling. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely not. I mean, in the end, life is about enjoying it. Yeah. It's not about proving yourself to somebody else or showing everybody else what you can or can't do. If you're happy with what you're doing.
Right.
I think that's an argument too, that once you do get up to those levels that you're losing the love of it. Now you're getting millions of dollars. So you're going for the millions of dollars. Whereas like, I don't know, you're enjoying it right now. Enjoy it.
I am. And like, would I like to travel? Absolutely. But I'm a family person. I don't like to leave. I don't like to be a far away from home. I really don't. I'm a mama's boy.
Do you have family, kids, and married or anything?
I'm not married. We're still together. I have a stepson. I love that little kid to death. I love my girlfriend to death. She never got into wrestling. Now she's still trying. She doesn't know how to feel about it, but she likes it. Like she loved the storyline with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. She loves Rhea Ripley.
I don't know how, I'm going to ask you just because you brought it up. I know I feel like they missed a step with pushing Sami Zayn and not having him win the Royal Rumble and putting the championship on him last year. How do you feel about that? Would you have done that, or do you think it's good where it's at?
I think it's good where it's at. You know, like I know that Sami Zayn, I don't know. Like there were moments where I was like, he should have, like the match with him and Roman, I really wanted him to win.
It was an elimination chamber match, right? Really bums me out that wasn't a match on one of the big four. That was a big four type match. Sorry.
No. You're good. You're good. You're good now.
Right.
My stepson Michael, he likes watching this. I got him into Rey Mysterio. He loves Rey Mysterio. Like now he likes anybody who's got a mask on. He likes masked wrestlers a lot. Anytime I go to training, like he knows, he's like, you're going to train today? And I go, yeah, I'm going to train today.
Does he ask if Lucha Dad's going to be there?
No.
No?
Please.
Does he know that you beat Lucha Dad the last time we were in this venue?
He did.
Right?
He did.
Does he know that?
Yeah.
Was he mad at you?
No, he wasn't mad at me. But what's funny is that like people who were booing me and everything, that's what I feel off of.
Right.
I feel off of the boos and everything. They hate me, and I love it. It fuels me. But to him, he's like, they're booing him. Why are they booing him? They need to cheer for him. And he started crying, and his mom told me, and I was like, buddy, like, it's okay. Like, it's like, there's some people that are going to hate me, and that's okay.
Well, in its own right, when it comes to wrestling, at very least, booing is supporting.
Right.
You know, that's they're playing with you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the cool part about it. I'm very new to all this.
Right.
So I'm learning a lot of the culture, learning all of it. I'm not a lot of it because I've never experienced any of it. Getting to experience some of it from that new perspective, like you had mentioned, your girlfriend likes the Sami Zayn, you know, storyline. That was one of the ones I was more interested in. I was like, yeah, that's cool. Another newbie likes that. So I feel even more connected to the world even more, you know, on that.
She liked the Dominic and Rey Mysterio storyline.
Right. Which I think that was ending when you last started showing you stuff. I can't remember.
I mean, I've caught bits of it because I do try to catch up, especially not only are we attempting to be the commentators for the Great Rampage, you know, production here and work with you guys in that regard, but we also do our own sketches. And one of them is a wrestling pair. That's actually where a lot of this started. We didn't set off to do this.
Right.
This is a byproduct of our buddy with the tie-dye being very good at talking to people and hooking us up with the opportunities.
Right.
But a lot of that was, I got to learn the product to write sketches for.
Right.
You know, when it comes to that, not only what is your favorite part about the culture, but what is something you would recommend prescribe for somebody like me who has no idea but's very open to it?
I guess just be yourself. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to talk to people. You in this business, you have to talk to new people. And before I came into this business, I was always in my shell. And with the friends that I've made, the people I've met, I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Do you have a mentor or somebody that has kind of shown you the way for the better part?
Eric Grayson, he took me in. He saw like how much of a fan I was. He saw how much I was like putting the promotion out there with my Facebook live shows, with the interviews. And you know, like I tell him all the time, like at the end of every show, I tell him, thank you. I shake his hand. I tell him, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity and everything like that.
It certainly is a privilege to work with a guy of that caliber.
Yes, sir. He really is.
Humble in every right way, I think is the way, because he's obviously very knowledgeable, but right. He also knows when to back off and let you be a newbie. And it's great. It's a very welcoming environment.
One thing that he has the answers to like everything. And if he doesn't, he will literally find the answer. Like that dude
cares.
Everything wrestling. Yes, he cares.
It's definitely a nice thing. And with that being said, I mean, we know that the dojo is here in Lubbock, right?
Yes.
Is there anything you can help, you know, in that regard, like promote for the dojo or give us some at least a little insight, like, hey, if you guys are interested out there in the world to experience this, you could sign up for a class or anything.
Message Eric Grayson. Yeah. Just let him know you're interested and we'll get everything. He'll get everything set up for you.
First off, you need to know a bump hurts, right?
That's one disclaimer. Absolutely.
But what's another disclaimer you would think of that somebody, I'm not saying I'm going to go do it.
No. You're all good.
I know better for me.
Well, there's people out there that think it's easy.
Right.
It's not. Yeah. Not easy. Like I am where I'm at because you got to work hard. You got to work hard. You can't half-ass nothing except like, you know, but hey, we're not
talking
about.
You worked hard to be able to do that.
Yeah,
if
I did. I did.
You couldn't have accomplished.
Exactly. That's what we're
doing. I don't know if you watched the first video, but I defended you very much.
Thank you. I got you. And there's people that are going to defend me and there's people that are going to hate me, but I don't care. I have this. And tonight, I'm going to keep this. And because I'm going to win it. Don't go in thinking that you know everything, because I can guarantee you, you won't, and you'll like it'll get shut down real quick.
What's the hardest thing, most difficult thing maybe you had to learn in the dojo while preparing your Joshua 8-bit character? What was the hardest thing you had to do, whether it be physically, whether it be mentally?
Physically, it's a cardio is important. Mentally, you can't take everything personal. Don't take nothing personal.
Especially because someone's cutting a promo about you. They're going to say some things.
Yeah, they're going to say some things. A coach is going to be what a coach is going to be. And you can't take it personal. They're telling you things. They're critiquing you because they care. Me, I originally thought that like I took everything personal. I did. And one day, like I woke up, went to training and was told myself, don't take nothing personal. And ever since then, I just kept telling myself, don't take it personal. They just want to see you get better. That's something that I tell myself all the time. And another thing, wrestling's for anybody. Look at the Von Erichs. One of them, I don't know which one. I think it was Chris. Even though he didn't have the, even though he couldn't physically wrestle because he had like weak bones, he loved like working backstage, and that's something that people are good at. So like if being in the ring isn't right for you, then don't stop there. Go backstage, work lights, work sound, be a ref.
I think like, one of the best stories about that too, Grace and I were actually talking about it when we first got here. I think it's Chris Van Fleet, right? Who also runs another wrestling podcast, very successful podcast. He talks about his first time going to wrestling training. He took his first bump and he was like, no, sir. But he still loved wrestling. And now he's probably one of the top three biggest names in wrestling.
I love that guy. Watch for all his interviews.
Yes.
Watch all his interviews.
You are currently on a heel run.
I am.
Josh Hatebit.
Hatebit.
And it's not 8-bit anymore.
I hate almost everything except video games. Yep. Except video games, comics.
What fueled doing? I'm assuming from when you got pulled in. And if I'm breaking too much kayfabe, you can tell me to shut the hell up.
But right.
You were making your blog, a wrestler, basically got you in. You debuted as a face, from what I'm understanding from that story.
It was Joshua 8-Bit. I teamed up with my former tag partner was Niku, who is now SOB.
Oh, okay.
He turned on me, and I just basically hit rock bottom from there. I realized that, like, being a good guy, it's not going to get you nowhere. So I did what I did. On the night of Scar announcing his retirement, I thought I should make my statement there. Like, Joshua 8-Bit is dead. Now it's Joshua 8-Bit. I formed the Player Haters, which is Player 1 and Player 2. And our saying is, you don't hate the game, you hate the players. And ever since then, we take what we want. We're not gonna back down. You know, we're going to make our mark.
And forgive my ignorance in this, because as again, I've admittedly been new to the whole world. Our co-op mode, are they guns for hire for you, or are they? How did you meet them?
They've been with Rampage for a long time, and I just saw them and was like, you know what, like I need I can't do this alone. I need somebody.
And you saw the potential with
them. I saw the potential with them. Plus, they came to me. I didn't go to them. They came to me. They were like, look, we want to reach them. We want to take things to the next level. And so what do you want to do? And I was like, well, like, we need to, like, make our mark. But we need to wait. And when Scar made his announcement, I was like, now. We need to go now. We need to strike now.
Was that the debut of the Player Haters in co-op mode?
Yes.
It was? Oh, wow. I didn't realize we watched that. We were at that show. That was the first Rampage show we went to.
Our debut. Co-op mode was a little bit before.
Okay.
But then, like, that, what you saw was the debut of the Player Haters.
So what's the end game for the Player Haters? You're looking to make this reality by earning it tonight. Are you putting co-op mode into...
They're banned by ringside, which right. Honestly, like, it's a load of bull, but... You know, if I gotta do this by myself, I'll do it by myself. Player One, I don't know if y'all saw it or not, but he tried to take this and try to give it back to Mac. And
yeah, we noticed there was a little bit of a thing.
I wasn't down with that. He kind of needs to figure out whose side he's on. He needs to realize that he came to me. Player One was nothing without me. Okay, and I'm trying to take us. I know I keep saying me, but I mean us.
You're the most important part of
yes. Well, absolutely, but how do I put this? We're a unit.
Yes, I mean, any great leader knows that he's part of the group as well, right?
Right.
So you lead by example, and that means fighting side by side with them.
Right.
How do you feel? I mean, I know you don't want to show too much of pass through the armor here, but does it affect you emotionally that one of your friends, you're almost a comrade, a brother of sorts that's been into battle with you, has not necessarily betrayed you, but definitely stood up against you in a way... With that move.
Betrayed's a pretty strong word. I'd say, like, he's kind of stepping out of line, and I just, you know, I got to put him back in line. I got to put him back in line. Does it frustrate me? Absolutely. Because again, like, I have to remind him, like, look, I didn't come to you. You came to me. I have this Rampage Championship for me and for us, for the Player Haters, and for him to kind of step out of line, it's frustrating, but, you know, I have a match, and I can't let that cloud what's going to happen tonight.
We are trying to get Player 2's perspective on it, just to have, you know, the third wheel, if you will, give his opinion on it. What do you think we can expect from the players once we talk to them individually?
No comment.
I understand. We're not trying to create troubles between you, but of course it is our job to still try to get a little bit involved and try to understand as best we can as you navigate, you know, these nuances of...
And it's like, no offense to y'all, but it's what happens with us is our business, and for people to figure out, like, oh, what's going on, like, it's nobody's business. What matters is that he stepped out of line. I'm putting him back in.
Let's get back to Joshua 8-Bit. You said earlier you're a comic book fan, a video game fan. Can you give us some favorites? What Because you wear a Smoke style costume. Is that correct? Smoke your favorite?
Smoke wasn't my favorite, but I'm a big, Tekken is currently my favorite fighting game, then Mortal Kombat, then Street Fighter and stuff. So, but I took inspiration from the gear that I have. Yeah.
Which Tekken is, or do you have a top three?
Top three out of Tekken? Sure. Tekken Tag 2, Tekken Tag 1, and then Tekken 3. Why Tekken Tag? Ooh. No, it has all the current characters. All the current characters. Tekken 1 was my first Tekken game that I owned. And then Tekken 3 was my first exposure to Tekken. Which I think if you were to ask any Tekken player, they will tell you that, oh, Tekken 3 was when I first started.
I'm assuming it's a console, that you're a console player with a fighting game?
Mostly. Yes.
What console do you?
The newest one I have is an Xbox One, but I'm old school. That's the newest one I have. The oldest that I have is a Nintendo 64. I do have what is called a Retron 3, and it can play this the Super Nintendo, the Nintendo, and the Sega Genesis.
I've been thinking about getting one of those, but I do have working versions of
those
consoles, so I'm like, do I need to get this? But no, at the same time, if they still work, I don't want to make it work.
You need to get it because they play Japanese imported games, and there's a switch under the Retron where if you switch it, it'll translate everything and it'll play it.
All right, so I'm gonna drop these three out here, or this question out there. I know there's three big names in wrestling that are about video games. Adam Cole and Kenny Omega both stream on Twitch, and Xavier Wood doesn't stream, but he puts out YouTube videos.
Right.
Which one would you want to game with?
That's a hard question.
Right, yeah.
There's another one. There's another one.
I'm missing somebody.
You're missing somebody. Is it AJ Styles?
AJ Styles does too. Yeah.
I met AJ Styles at 806 Games here in Lubbock, and
really?
Yeah, it was funny how I met him. So I had it was during when WWE came to Lubbock, and I had a Bullet Club shirt on, and it was when there you go. It was when Cody Rhodes was in the Bullet Club, so I had the American Nightmare one, and he saw me. And he was like, hey, man, I like your shirt. And I didn't think it was him. So I was like, oh, thank you. And I was like, wait a minute. And I really tried not to like, oh, my God, you're hitting. No. I was like, man, just keep your cool. Don't say nothing. And then he just kind of looked at me and was like, hey, you want a photo? Like, I know you want to ask me for a photo. I know you don't want to bother me. And stuff. I go, oh, yes, can I have it? But, yeah, no. It would have to be AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, Xavier Woods, and then Adam Cole.
I don't blame you. And I do want to admit, I think Kenny Omega took a break from streaming this week as of filming this. He started his channel back up.
Really?
So, yeah. So if you haven't, I'll send you the link.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Kind of going back to video games. What was y'all's favorite Tekken?
I never played Tekken, I won't lie. I was, as far as fighting games goes, I was always Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. Right now I'm playing Mortal Kombat 1, and I really love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really not a fighting guy. I do look first-person strategies and stuff like that. Okay.
I could never get into strategies.
I played a lot of StarCraft on PC back in the day when I was junior high and stuff. I was going to say, we do have to end up wrapping up, but I did want to give, by the time this episode airs, obviously tonight will have happened. We're expecting you to be retaining this belt because you're going to be pinning Mac the franchise, correct?
Absolutely.
Do you have a message for future 8-Bit or future Mac once this airs that you would be potentially wanting either of those people to hear from your...
Don't hate the game. Hate the players.
I did want to squeeze in. I wanted to know what you call your finisher.
Soul's Edge.
Soul's Edge. All right.
Because my number one... I know I said Tekken, but like number one of all time, Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur is my favorite fighting game.
To bring him, I like that you did that, not to bring him up a million times, but Kenny Omega, who is my favorite wrestler, named his...
The One-Winged Angel?
Yeah, One-Winged Angel.
Because of Final Fantasy,
What is it, Final Fantasy VII? It's a song from it, right?
Yeah.
Was it VII?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't play Final Fantasy either.
I just appreciate it.
I know it's named after one of the characters. His name is Sephiroth.
Yeah.
And that's what they call him. They call him the One-Winged Angel.
Yes, so thank you all for joining us today on this Bam Bam Ram podcast. Please don't forget to check out our Facebook, Instagram, even the Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it. Of course, we're streaming on Twitch on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We're sprinkling a few randoms in there.
We might have to get this guy on the Twitch sometime.
Sounds like
I'm down for it.
Absolutely. You got any ads or socials you want the people to come follow you want?
Just Joshua 8-Bit. I don't I really don't play Twitch, or I'm not on Twitch as much. I watch Twitch people, but I don't really stream or nothing like that. I'm just in my own domain.
Well, like I said, maybe we can get you in there. To be truthful, we got to back up for half a second. We do something called weaseling.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that seems like the perfect thing. Usually it only means that we get you involved in our business or try to get ourselves involved in your business.
Right.
And maybe it can be where we help, start getting you involved in our Twitching. I don't know. We're not asking for committing, but maybe, yeah, like you've already said.
Of course.
You can join us for a stream or two and we can go from there. Do you have a PC by chance?
I don't.
That's cool. Yeah, we can. We will figure it out. No worries.
We can figure out a way to do
it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Joshua. Very, very happy to see you holding this. It's very interesting, dynamic. Thank you.
I'm going to keep it.
We'll see you in the ring here in a bit, and we'll be seeing you, I guess, pinning Mac the franchise.
Y'all enjoy.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Y'all enjoy.
Thank you.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.
I hate y'all.
Yes.